David Allan Carmichael here, back with the Faith and Freedom Show. How do I do this? How do I mix together this Faith and Freedom Show? I got to tell you, when I started this, actually when I saw I was supposed to start this back in 2006, terrified. How do I articulate this kind of stuff? I'd done my homework on faith. I've been trying to live it. I've been doing my homework on freedom. I've been trying to live it. We've been trying to put what we say into practice. Very difficult. The more that everybody kind of goes the way of drinking the Kool-Aid and sticking with the status quo of those who do not have your best interest in heart, and you just kind of roll along with them, what happens? It makes it hard for anybody else who's actually trying to stand in the midst of the flood tide. Land of the free, home of the brave. I'm going to quote an April 11, 2003 letter from Charles A. Mullen, Social Security Administration, Associate Commissioner, Office of Public Inquiries. Quote, "The Social Security Act does not require a person to have a Social Security number to live and work in the United States, nor does it require a Social Security number simply for the purpose of having one." Did you hear that, folks? Did your mother tell you that when you were a youngster, when they signed an SS-5 form and told you, "Here, son, this is your number"? Did they tell you that if the number is associated with your name, you'll never be able to vote without embracing it as an element of your identity? Did you tell them you'll never get an automobile driver's license without embracing it as an element of your identity? And, of course, there are many other things. Did you tell them, "Oh, by the way, son, you don't have to actually have a Social Security number. There's no requirement. No, by the way, if you've never been associated with one, you'll have no problem getting a driver's license, except some extreme states like California." And there's a couple more in the union now that have gone that far. You'll be able to vote. You'll be able to do things up until the point as things get worse and worse and worse and everybody gets sucked up into this. Eventually, you won't be able to do anything. But really, legally, there's no requirement for you to do this. Nobody was told that. The Social Security Act does not require a person to have a Social Security number to live and work in the United States, nor does it require a Social Security number simply for the purpose of having one. That was Charles A. Mullen, April 11, 2003 letter that I have a certified copy. That's news to people. Here's something I read today off the Social Security law. The statutes, section 214 of 42 United States Code, talks about currently insured individual. There might be people who get letters. Actually, it's probably not to you, it's to an individual. If you would like to be an individual, I guess it's to you. The term currently insured individual means any individual, so I guess you have to be an individual, who had not less than 6 quarters of coverage during the 13-quarter period ending with the quarter before you died. Let me summarize this. If you die or you became entitled to old age insurance benefits, you became entitled to primary insurance benefits under this, or individual entitled to disability insurance benefits. Let me sum this up. If you had not been paying into it for the last 13 quarters, you're not insured under the law. It's an insurance program, folks. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave as far as the number goes. But really, according to the benefits, if you're not paid up over the last 13 quarters, that's three and a quarter years. So if you've got 3.5 years and haven't paid into it, you're not insured. That's section 214 of the Title 42 Social Security Act, okay, the Health and Human Services Code. You can look that up yourself and find that out. I just read it. It's right here in front of me. Most people don't know that. And most people don't know that there's no law requires anybody to have that kind of number. Did you know that you can get hired without a number? And there's this provision in law. It's called the Reasonable Cause Waiver. It'd be 26 U.S.C. 6724. That's a reasonable cause waiver. Your employer will not get fined the $50 if all they do is ask you for a number and you tell them, hey, never got one. Guess what? They're off the hook. See IRS Pub 1586. Nobody tells anybody this. Most employers don't know about this. I didn't even know about it. One time a lady called me. I got to tell you a faith story. A lady called me and she really said to me, she says, I just can't ever in my life identify with a Social Security number. And I went to a job, a Christian guy, and he hired me. I told him there's really no law that requires it. And he said, okay, I'll hire you. Well, it turns out that he started talking to some IRS guy and the IRS just scared the guy to death. And so he came in one day and he told the lady, okay, I'm sorry, you're going to have to I'll let you work till Friday, but that's it because I don't want to begin trouble from the IRS, so I can't have you working here. And she said, I thought you're a Christian man. I thought you believed in God and not the schemes of the world. And you know, I thought you had a just were merciful. And this guy says, hey, listen, I got other employees. I got to watch my business. I got to protect my home, my family. You know, I just can't do this. You're just going to have to leave. Well, she calls me one day and she told me her situation. Now, my thing is, I'm a faith fanatic, okay? I'm a Christian extremist. This was my counsel to her. I said, don't be mad at him. I said, what the Bible would have us do would be to pray for him, to love him, to treat him greatly, to take it on the chin, to act like Jesus would act. Now, watch what's going to happen here. What's going to happen is you're going to have a blessing from God that he doesn't understand that you don't understand. God will make a way for you. But do what is right, not what you feel like doing, and thinking you can justify it in your head. If he doesn't want you to work there, that is not where you need to be working. You don't need to be a point of contention for him. Be a demonstration of faith for him. So you know what she did? She went back into her job, and she said, okay. And she said, listen, I apologize for getting upset. You know, we all got to do what we think we're supposed to do, and I appreciate you hiring me for this amount of time I've had, and I'll finish up my work here Friday, and, you know, I'll come in, wait till Monday to kind of take all of my stuff out of here. And they said, sure, not a problem. So she goes off for the weekend. On Friday night, the IRS agent calls this employer back and says, you know what? I found this publication, IRS Pub 1586, and it shows that in a situation like this, you're not supposed to fire the employee. All you're supposed to do is record and keep on file that you ask the employee for a number, and you can write down what the situation, why they told you no. It didn't matter. It didn't have to be religious. All you have to do is keep track that you have used due diligence to try to obtain the number, and the only recourse you have, in fact, there wasn't even a recourse to withhold any tax if you go to IRS Pub 1586. Isn't that amazing? And it said specifically in there, I think it was on page 11, do not fire the employee. Well, she came in on Monday morning after blessing her boss and saying, okay, I'll leave, but thank you, God bless you. She came in on Monday and the boss says, hey, could you please not leave? This IRS guy called me on Friday and he gave me this publication and we can keep you here. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? But you know what? We don't have the faith even to be nice when people are mean to us. You know that we've got somebody watching our back that's the best person to watch anybody's back. Thank you for calling 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
Did you actually call it Social Security Insurance?
Yes, it is.
It is, really?
That's what it is.
I don't know. Didn't the Supreme Court rule it was unconstitutional?
Well, you know what?
To create an insurance program or...
Okay, hold on. Let me read right from the statute.
I'm not talking about the statute. I'm talking about the court decision saying that it was unconstitutional to set up an insurance program.
No, I've never seen anything
actually,
that said that.
That actually what Social Security is, it gets collected as FICA, an income tax, and gets paid out as an entitlement.
And you know what?
Insurance program.
It's not deductible. You know why it's not deductible?
It's not an insurance program.
It's not a tax.
It gets collected as an income tax. Gets paid out as an entitlement.
No, but you know what? It isn't a tax, or you could deduct it.
It isn't, but that's the main word. You can deduct and not deduct a lot of things, but FICA is an income tax.
Wait, how do you determine, does the Supreme Court, which I've never seen the case you're referring to, but does the Supreme Court define the law?
I'll send you the case. No, well, I'll tell you how you determine it, because the only way the federal government can tax directly is it apportionment among states.
Wait.
All indirect taxes are excises.
Stop. You're getting into the weeds. Let's read from the statute. The term currently insured individual means any, and it goes into details.
How old is that statute?
It's still on the books. It's current.
How old is it?
It's 1933.
Okay. Well, the court already ruled that they couldn't do that.
No.
I'm going to send you the decision. No, they can't. The government can't set up an insurance program.
No, I disagree with you. They can do it for their employees. They can do it within their sector. They can't impose it across everybody across the country.
Okay.
But you realize this is voluntary. You're opting into becoming a U.S. employer. If you're a preacher...
I'll send you the decision and we'll discuss it, okay?
Well, we might. Okay, well, you send me a decision.
Yeah, if you decide to, we'll discuss.
Okay, you send it to me on my email.
All right.
Okay. Where was I? I got distracted. Somebody distracted me. I should not take these calls. But this was the story. Okay, I was telling the story about the lady who actually went in and was nice to her employer and operated in faith because she was free. And what happened is it liberated her employer. And you know what she got? I'm telling you what, folks. The IRS agent was hostile to her and was helping the employer be hostile to her. But something changed his mind and something enabled him to get to Pub 1586, where he realized there isn't a requirement. There is a reasonable cause waiver for this. It could be religious. It could be anything. If you go to the statutes, 26 U.S.C. 6724, it says that reasonable causes shall include but are not limited to, and it talks about all these basically things are just talking about convenience. So what's happened is we're being duped, and it's optional. That's what it says. Social Security Act does not require a person to have a Social Security number to live and work in the United States, nor does it require a Social Security number simply for the purpose of having one. Well articulated by the Social Security Administration, Charles A. Mullen, Associate Commissioner, Office of Public Inquiries, April 11, 2003, while he was in office. How about this? Everybody says it's against Constitution that they're implementing this health benefit program that everybody's spun up about. I'm going to read from a Supreme Court. Federal government may not compel the states or enact or administer a federal regulatory program. So the federal government cannot compel the states to do anything. The only way they can compel you to do something is if you are particularly participating in something, some kind of program that they're doing. If you are a federal employee or something like that, if you have opted into a relationship that they can control to the point where you realize if they're controlling a program so much to the point where you don't even have judicial review or access to rights to take your problem to court, it is a voluntary program. It has to be. They can't mandate you abandon your constitutional protections in law. They can't mandate that you abandon your protections by one of the branches of the government. If it's a voluntary program, then they can create a mechanism of internal review or what they call external review, but they keep it under their own house, under their own hat, because it's something that you did not have to opt into. And once you do, then you got to play by those rules. Read United States versus Nixon. It goes into that. Hey, we're going to come back after this. This is the Faith and Freedom Show. We're going to talk about these issues, constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong, 888-850-1872.